The web of surveillance now extends well beyond the prison walls and across the whole of society. We are all now routinely documented, tracked, and observed. But it hasn't always been like this. 200 years ago, there was no systematic surveillance of the population, no archives of files on each one of us, no central authority to keep us in their sights. The surveillance society has its roots in the philosophies of Jeremy Bentham, political economist, social reformer, and the father of surveillance. For the first time, the population began to be routinely documented and classified to stifle rebellion and repress dissent. The Victorians were extremely modest about their bodies. They were to be kept hidden at all costs. But science was advancing rapidly, penetrating and exposing every bodily secret. Friends and family kept watch over one another's mental health, scanning each face for signs of a troubled mind. Surveillance took on different forms in different countries, but in all of them, it grew to pathological proportions. The paranoid world of Cold War surveillance was a psychosis where no amount of watching was ever enough. This was the perfect climate for the massive expansion of the surveillance state. Under the directorship of J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI was tasked with the protection of America from communists. There were two ways to surveil a conversation: the wiretap, which picked up telephone conversations, and the bug that picked up everything in its vicinity.
The other amazing thing is you take the Old Testament, which was...
The bug was the preferred method. Subjects could be watched in this way for years. Whether any crimes had been committed was hardly relevant. In Cold War Britain, surveillance took on a different form than in America. There was never the level of hysteria about the communist threat in 50s Britain that there was in the US, but there was still surveillance. The form of surveillance embarked on was more subtle, more indirect. It was a very British kind of surveillance. Rather than rely on bugs and wiretaps to find out what people were thinking, the government and MI5 relied on that old British institution, the Gentlemen's Club. The small size of Britain's elite and their concentration in London made it possible to surveil in this way. Through informal conversations with friendly contacts in the media and universities, MI5 could discover who was and wasn't to be trusted. The aim was to keep potential subversives out of positions of influence in public life. Stuart Hood joined the BBC in 1946. In the 1950s, he rose through the ranks to reach the position of controller of television. When on BBC appointment boards, he witnessed firsthand the everyday involvement of the security services. MI5 held lists of people it did not want to see appointed, lists that would be handed over to the BBC. Those considered suspect were marked out with a special stamp on their personnel files.